Well, good morning. Had an amazing week. I took the opportunity, I've been in a leader's t-shirt all week, so I've taken the opportunity to dress up in something when I really didn't need to this morning, but there we go, and now I'm baking hot. I spent the week with the 8s to 9s. They were awesome. I know a couple of them, Jensen's here this morning, and Penny's here, and I think that's it, but it was just so much fun. And if we could just have the PowerPoint going, please, that'd be great. We've talked this week. HBC has been all about how Jesus, because of Jesus, we can become part of God's great construction plan. And I'm going to talk about that really quickly now. And I don't know who's listening online this morning, and you know, everybody here. I don't know if you believe in God or not. I don't know what you think of Jesus. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about what he's done and what he can do for you and what he's done for many of us here this morning. So, the Bible is full of stories and sayings that use buildings or building stuff to talk about what God is like and what God has done and what God is doing in people's lives today. And one of those stories was when Jesus was talking to one of his disciples called Peter. You probably heard of him. Now, Peter had been with Jesus a while and he'd seen Jesus do loads of amazing stuff. He'd been raising people from the dead, healing the sick, controlling the weather, all kinds of amazing stuff. And it came to this point, and Jesus asked Peter, he said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said this, he said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, this was really important because it meant that Peter had realized something about Jesus. He'd realized who Jesus was, that he was the one they were waiting for, who had come from heaven to be their savior. And Jesus said to Peter, "You know, God has revealed that to you." And then he said something else. He said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Interesting. Now, Peter could well have been confused here because Peter's name meant rock, and it was a name that Jesus had given to Peter. So he was kind of saying, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church. That's curious, isn't it? Now, what he wasn't saying was that he was going to build a church on Peter. Wouldn't make any sense, would it? But what he's actually saying was, actually, Jesus was going to build a church of people on the rock of belief, if you like. People who had come to realize, just as Peter had, who Jesus was and put their faith in him. A bit more, so this would be more realistic. People-shaped building blocks of the church with Jesus underneath, the truth about Jesus and what they believe in sort of underneath as an amazing foundation. And so building a church of people. This, you know, we've got bricks and wood and carpet and stuff all around us. That isn't the church. We're not in a church. The people sitting here who believe in Jesus and all the others around the world who believe in Jesus, that's the church. Now, later on, Peter again, after Jesus had died and had been raised from the dead and had gone back to be with his Father in heaven, Peter wrote a letter to loads of Christians who are spread around the world. He wrote a letter to encourage them, and he talked a bit of building talk there. He said, "You also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house." So he's using that imagery again, and he also says in the same passage that actually Jesus is the chief cornerstone or the most important foundation stone of this spiritual house, the church. So he's using that sort of imagery again. Now, this is my reminder slide that I'm now going to use an amazing visual aid to illustrate living stones. Hands up if you think you're a living stone. I'm going to put my hand up with you. Yeah, there's loads of living stones here that have been built since, you know, Jesus and Peter were doing this. Now, I have an amazing visual aid here of living stones. As you can see, I just put that there. I've got loads of people to write their names on my stones here. We've got Micah, Lizzie, Callum, Christine, mostly leaders from HBC. There's me there, Erica, Harry, Aaron. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to start building my living stones into an amazing construction. There we go. We've got Jesus at the bottom. There's the foundation stone. I don't know if you can see that. What we've got here, Ella, Joe, James, Josh, Tom, Debbie. There we go. And then we've got this. This one isn't going to quite work so well, I don't think. We've got Holly, we've got Micah, we've got Callum, Let's get this one on there. Look at that, it's quite impressive, eh? Now we look. So there we are, building a living stone. A few gaps there as well, you know, add a few living stones as we go along, that would be brilliant. So the question is, really, how do we become living stones and get sort of joined on to this great building project of God? So, let's have a look at a Bible verse. There's a Bible verse that says this. It says, just at the right time, don't make me out of breath doing that, it's pathetic, isn't it? What happened? Oh dear. Just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, ungodly sinners, that's a bit harsh, but that's us, basically. It's everybody in the whole world. Ungodly sinners, who God has shown his love by sending Jesus to die for us. Now, sinners, the problem, you see, we are have this problem that all humans have. We have a tendency to go that way rather than that way. If God's over there, we tend to go that way. And that's what being sinful is. That's what sin is. It's that selfish nature of ours. And all kind of things come out. The things we do wrong, the things that God doesn't like about our lives, the things that other people don't like about us. And, you know, we upset people. We do things wrong. We lie. We cheat. We steal. We murder. All kinds of things. Okay, that's what it is. Now, the problem with sin is that it creates a barrier between us and God. God created humans to have a relationship with him. And this sin creates a barrier that gets in the way and destroys that relationship. Now, the problem is that that separation, if you like, from God is an eternal separation. When we die, when we leave this life, then we're going to face the consequences of sin. God is one day going to be our judge. And the consequence of our sin, if we have to take that, is that we get separated from God forever. Now, the Bible describes that in various ways and actually struggles to describe that, calls it hell, and leaves us in no doubt that that's an eternal separation from God. You know, one day, Jesus is going to be our judge. We believe, we sung it just now, that Jesus one day is coming back to this earth to set up his kingdom. That's the great hope for Christians. But for everybody, you've got to ask his question, am I going to be ready when that happens? If you leave this life before Jesus returns, are you going to be ready? But actually, we've already sung about it, we've read about it. There is good news, because go up my tower again. God, the judge, is one day. Well, one day, what am I talking about? He's going to be our judge one day. But he's actually, the God who is our judge, has actually provided a way for us to escape that judgment. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, he was sinless. He never did anything wrong. And when he was handed over by the Jews to the Romans to be crucified, he was an innocent man. And he died a horrible death on the cross. Now, when he died, he took that punishment of sin that we deserve on himself. He took all those consequences away on himself. That separation from God that we deserve, he took that away so that we can be forgiven by him. You know, when Jesus died, after that he was buried in a tomb, and then he was raised to life after 3 days, just showing that he is free from death. Death had no power over him, and that proves to us and assures us that he can give us new life as well. New life that starts now, and new life that goes on into eternity. When John the Baptist was, same time Jesus was still alive, John the Baptist was still alive, he said this to the Jews he was talking to one time. He said, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. God's wrath means, you know, the God's anger and his judgment for sin. And, you know, for all these people who are on this and sitting here whose name is on here, all these living stones, they weren't always living stones. These are people who have believed in Jesus, have believed that he died for their sins and rose again from the dead, and have asked him for that forgiveness that we need for our sins, and have received that gift of new life and are following him as Lord. And that is a challenge for everybody. You know, I don't know what kind of life you have. You might have been dealt quite a tough life. You might struggle with things. But I tell you, with Jesus, there is forgiveness and there is hope. Hope for now and hope for the future. And my challenge for you today would be, are you going to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you going to accept that you're a sinner and ask him to forgive you? Because he died for you. He died for every one of us. And we all have the opportunity to turn to him. That's what repentance means. It means turning from a life of sin, turning to God, asking him to forgive. And he promises to give us new life if we do that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. You know, he's a loving God. Sometimes, you know, one of my little things is sometimes I see God as a bit of a headmaster with a big stick waiting to beat me. He's not like that. He's just totally loving. He wants us to run towards him and ask him to forgive us and give us that gift of new life. Now, if you want to respond, if you want to give your life to Jesus, then I'm going to say a little prayer that you can say if you like. You can say it in your head and say amen at the end. And I'm going to do that now. It's a really simple prayer that just acknowledges that we're sinful and that we want Jesus to be our Saviour. So let's pray. If you want to pray this, say amen at the end. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for my sins and rose again from the dead. I believe that you died for me, and I believe that you rose again so that I can have new life. I know that I am a sinner and have done things wrong. Please forgive me. Please come into my heart and my life, and I want to trust you and follow you as Lord and Saviour. Amen. Now, that's something you might want to think about, even having heard that prayer. If you prayed it, great. If you want to pray it at a later date, great. But it would be really good to hear from you if you did. You can get hold of Charlie, get hold of us through the website, through Facebook or the website, or if you know us and you want to come and speak to us, then please let us know.